You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Christmas to everybody out there. That's right. And happy holidays to everybody else. Christmas Eve, man. Santa is loading up. He's embarking right now. The embarkation process has begun. So, I hope you're having a, so far, a good holiday. As we know, right, that thing, the holiday season is a dicey event, man. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it is not. And so, anyway, hope you're having a good one out there. And today, kind of like we did yesterday, you're going to meet some All Marine Radio people. One you've never heard from. He's emailed, but he's never been on the program, so we're going to talk to him. That's Ohio Man. He's going to call. Ohio Man's the first person to talk to me about the circle game. And what everybody saw on TV was not, in fact, the white power salute. It was the circle game. And he was indignant about it. And I was like, hey, man, I don't believe in coincidences anymore, okay? And so I said, I've never heard that game in my life. So I sent Tim Lynch an email. And now, mind you, I mean, we've been in the Marine Corps. We've been all over the country. We've been all over the world. And you've seen most games, most stupid games like that, right? And so I called Tim. I said, hey, you ever heard of this game? He said, no. I said, all right. So, anyhow, Ohio Man had heard of it. Played it, in fact, he said. So, we'll talk to him. Get his thoughts on the whole thing. And then, we won't do that till the next hour. At the bottom of the hour, you're going to hear Nancy, right? You hear Nancy normally giving us her weather update. So, you're going to hear Nancy live today. So, she's been on the program before, but she found All Marine Radio through some Marine friends and has become a loyal listener and contributor. So you get to hear from Nancy, and And then you're going to hear from Matt Kiker. Matt, if you've paid attention to All Marine Radio, I met Matt almost, it'll be a year ago in 2 weeks. Actually, less than 2 weeks. And and he just got out of the Marine Corps and headed back to start another part of his life. So he's fired up the other day, so I thought it'd be a good time to have him on and talk about his life and how it's changed and all of that. So kind of wheeling around the dial like we did yesterday. So I like doing that in the holidays, catching up with people. So and then let's see what I did yesterday. Went out and did a little shopping with Colleen, and we went to one of my favorite stores on the planet, Bed Bath & Beyond. Yeah, tell me you can't spend a gazillion dollars in Bed Bath & Beyond any day of the week. No, let's get this. Not exactly the cheapest place you're going to find that stuff either. But anyway, I needed to get a new shower curtain, and for my, not my bathroom, but the other bathroom in the house. And so then I thought, I looked at the shower rod when I was cleaning at the bathroom, Colleen and I were cleaning. I said, yeah, that's got to go too. So yeah, all brand new. Yeah, Patrick's coming out, and he's going to stay here with his fiance. So, yeah. Shining the penny up for the lovely Sarah. Anyhow, so we did that, and then did a little Christmas shopping. The biggest problem in Southern California, man, is parking. Good God, man. But the parking God liked me yesterday and did not have too many issues. So did a little Christmas shopping. And then went, my daughter Catherine said, hey, the printer at mom's house doesn't work. I'm like, here we go again. Is it plugged in? And then she, that's so, yeah, I say that deliberately to insult her, right? Because she takes it so well, but she doesn't. I said, all right, well, let me look at it. So, for whatever reason, I'm not exactly sure. They tell me the password's right, but the printer won't connect to the wireless network. So, do that. And then the way around that is just, you know, take the wire coming out of the computer that you can plug, I'm sorry, out of the printer that you can plug in, the FireWire, and plug the USB, you know, end of the wire into your laptop. Well, that wasn't working either. So I began to troubleshoot that. So get it down to, yeah, we need to see if it's in the cable because everything else works. The printer says it works, but it's not printing. And the computer doesn't see it, so that would tend to mean it's the wire. So do that. And I said, the other thing that you should do is probably take a, wire it into the router. And that's when I got the, yeah, wire it into the router. So we'll get a wire from my house, right? It's one of those like Ethernet cables. Oh, yeah. And we'll wire it straight into the router. And then you don't need, it's just on the network. Oh, so that's what we ultimately did. So I did that last night too. Came home, sat down, we can do a little work. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And I don't know what I started to watch, but I didn't get very far, and I fell asleep, and I woke up. It's cold out here, though. I'm telling you. It's like 40-something degrees here this morning. That, like, we don't, nobody, who needs that, right? Nobody in California needs that. That's for people like Nancy, right? People like Ohio Man. You guys like that stuff. But California, not so much. We're not prepared for that. So, anyway. And then today, I got some more Christmas shopping to do. I got to look my grandson. I got to go get him something. So, what do you get a four-year-old? Like anything, right? I mean, they like anything. But preferably loud, obnoxious, and something his parents went by. Yeah, I think. And then we had a discussion about educational last night. What about educational toys? Yeah, I'm not an educational toy guy. I'm like a fun toy guy. Mm-hmm. Like, let somebody else buy the educational toys, okay? Right? Your grandpa? My grandson has taken to when my daughter-in-law, she says, she sent this video, and she was asking him, like, what does so-and-so say? What does so-and-so say? What does so-and-so say? And then she says, well, what does Papa say? And my grandson yelled, what's up? And she thought it was hilarious. And so she recorded it and sent it to me. So now, ever since then, I yell that as loud as I can, right? So when you're the what's up, grandpa, you can't get an educational toy, right? Come on. I mean, that's like incongruent with the whole what's up kind of scenario. So anyway, I'm in search of a toy, something. So I've got to go out, check things out, see what's out there. And, but he's not going to be here till 26. So I actually have today and I have, the day after Christmas to work on this project. So I got that going for me today. And then I don't know if there's anything else I can do to winterize my house. I got up in the middle of the night because it was cold and I've got the windows sealed tight. I went to the front door. I said, the front door could be the only other thing that's leaking air, but there was not. So I think it's just, you know, when it gets cold, if you have if you have no insulation and homes like this don't, then yeah, that's what you get. So anyhow, yeah, that's what I get. So good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes today official on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everybody. Kid, everybody out there who's struggling during the Christmas holiday. Christmas is a tough time for people. And if you're not struggling, pay attention and be mindful of people that are and reach out to them. Say hi to them, right? Take their blood pressure. Find out, you know, if they're doing all right. And if they're not, then help them out. So this is dedicated to everybody that's struggling this holiday season. You can get through it. Stay busy. And hopefully the world will get a little bit better in the short term. So this is dedicated to you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
When the danger is perceptible and the cost of acting are low, the failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher. Every day that goes by makes North Korea a more dangerous country. You don't like their behavior today? What do you think it'll be when they have nuclear weapons that can be delivered to American cities? Do you want to wait till then to act, or do you want to act now?
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
Time to check weather. See what Santa's gonna run into as he circumnavigates the globe. Currently, it's warmed up on the East Coast. Sunny and 51 in Quantico. Yeah, they were down in the 30s. Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, it is sunny and 64 degrees there. 29 Palms. Clouds and 44 degrees. Yeah. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton. Partly sunny and 49. That's not normally the way. 40s at Pendleton? Are you kidding me? What the hell? Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy and 68. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 70. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear dark at 46. And in Ramadi, it is clear dark and 61 in the land of the crescent in Iraq. Currently, at the home of All Marine Radio, it is foggy and 48. Unbelievable. Looking for a high of only 61 today. Looking for a high of rain and 58 on Wednesday. That would be Christmas. On Thursday, rain and 58. Come on, man. This is... I shudder to think of what my gas bill is going to be. I thought I was saving... Oh, on Friday... It's going to be 66. On Saturday, 64. Sunday, 64. Monday, 64. And then we get up to 67 and we stay there for a while. All right, could be worse. Could be worse. You know what? Words to live by, man. It could always be worse. All right, should we take a break or should we do just top five stories in early bird? And Nancy's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. I vote that we stay right here. All right. So we'll do top five stories in early bird and then we'll, let's see. Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg to step down immediately. And this is, because of the ongoing problems that the, Boeing MAX 737 aircraft has had. Can you imagine screwing that up? Not only are all there's airliners parked around the world that you're going to have to somehow or other indemnify people for. There's the lawsuits that will come from people that have died in crashes that involved the Boeing 737 MAX. So he has impacted Boeing's financial future and bottom line for the not too distant future. Number two, the United States Army identifies a Green Beret that was killed in Afghanistan. The Sergeant First Class Michael Goebel, 33 years old, died on Monday from injuries sustained during combat operations the day prior. And that according to the United States Army Special Operations Command. He was a senior intel sergeant assigned to Charlie Company, 1st Battalion, 7th Special Forces Group, based out of Eglin Air Force Base in Florida, his third deployment to Afghanistan, in addition to deployments to Argentina, Guatemala, Colombia, and North Korea. The Taliban claimed responsibility for the attack after the group spokesman, Zabihullah Mujahid, said over social media that a U.S. soldier was killed by an explosion in Kunduz. U.S. forces have also battled the Islamic State militants in the country this year, some of whom are suspected of having being disaffected Taliban. So, anyway, keep his family in your thoughts and prayers as you go through the holiday. Number three, Congress weighs closing up the number three office at the Pentagon. What's that about, for God's sakes? Just 3 years after Congress created a new civilian position focused on Defense Department reforms and named it the number three office in the Pentagon, key lawmakers are leaning towards eliminating the office. Congressional documents accompanying the recent signed 2020 National Defense Authorization Act require a series of studies from the Department of Defense on whether the chief management officer's position has been successful, with the stated goal to disestablish the chief management officer position altogether. It's a hard term for the 2016 National Defense Authorization Act, which elevated the longstanding deputy chief management officer position to full CMO. Chief management officer position. Mac Thornberry, the House Armed Services Committee ranking member, said some of his colleagues are reconsidering the CMO office's existence in order to speed up fiscal savings. I think everybody agrees we have to relook at the position. It has not worked out the way we hope, Thornburg said. We're all grappling with how you have better management of a part of the DOD that's not the services. That was the hope, but it has not worked out that way. So, anyway, interesting. So, the management of the Department of Defense, an issue there. As people comb through the 2,000-page National Defense Authorization Act and find these little nuggets in there. This command chief uncovered the tragedy that shaped his life. Now he uses it to help AMC airmen. This is about an Air Force command master chief who grew up in Guyana. He didn't look like his brothers and sisters. He didn't know why he lived with his aunt and uncle while the rest of his siblings lived with their father and their stepmother. But most perplexingly, he never knew the true story of the fire that took his mother's life when he was just 6 years old. Eventually, Green started to unravel the mystery and the tragedy and its origins. He's Command Master Chief at Air Mobility Command. It took me years to work up the courage even to share my story with my closest associates. He was born in New Amsterdam, Guyana, in January of 1964, the sixth child of a troubled family. Grew up in a coastal village. Father was abusive to his mother and had other women in his life. When Green was born, it was apparent that his mother had also had an affair. I came out not looking like the others, Green said. I showed up a mix of Indian and black, and all of my old other brothers and sisters are black. So it was clearly obvious I was not his child. His mother was deeply ashamed after the revelation, and the effect was devastating. One day a month and a half later, he had one of Green's sisters bring her a can of kerosene. With all her children still in the house, Green said, She poured gasoline on herself and set herself on fire. She died 2 weeks later. The family was traumatized. The father remarried a few months later, which kind of tells you where he was with all this. The siblings went with their father and new stepmother, but Green said his father had no intention of raising a boy who wasn't his, so he instead was taken in by his aunt. Now he uses his story, picture of his mother in there, uses his story to tell and inspire airmen about his own personal story. I need to find this guy. I need to find him. He's a living, walking, breathing version of post-traumatic one. Fifth story in top five stories, early bird. Number five, new to 2020, here's why troops can't sue the military for medical malpractice and how that's changing. Yeah, you know, you don't find this stuff out till after, you know, something horrific happens. I mean, you know you lose some of your rights, but medical negligence, right, it's not something. And then the DOD, I mean, honestly, doctors come in to work off college loans a lot of times. So, anyhow, that's in the news today. All right, let's see what time is it. 8:27, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to get Nancy on the phone here. And we will, we'll find out what's going on in Pennsylvania. And, I don't know how I do it on a daily basis, but I've forgotten once again to do shithole weather. So stand by. I'm not sure why I'd forget, you know? I mean, I shouldn't forget, but I do. All right? And I for the life of me, I cannot explain it. So here, okay, with that said, in the spirit of the holidays, from Massachusetts, good Christmas Eve morning. Below is a link to a short video of my favorite run at Wachusett's. Oh, this is from Chris's GoPro helmet. Yeah, I was giving him grief about looking like a goof in his spaceman ski outfit. He is on the move today. He's in Princeton, Mass., home of Stillwater Farm Historic Site. There is a Stillwater River nearby. That's all I've got. Currently, 31 degrees. Looking for a high of 39 today, which isn't bad. Sunny all day. Northwest winds at 8. A Merry Christmas to all, especially my fellow shithole weather contributors. Chris from Webster, Mass. out. And then there's a beautiful old New England barn by the side of a road. And the run from First Sergeant Wayne, who actually included the picture with his post. It's of an ice rink. I love ice rinks, man. Now, I play hockey. My kids played hockey. Spent a ton of time in it. Good memories. 48 and sunny with a high of 65 today. Wow. Overnight low of 36. Christmas Day will have a high of 57 in Hickory, North Carolina. Tomorrow, 51 years ago, 25 December 1968, my mom gave birth to this legend. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday on Christmas. I've heard that's a bad deal. People try to two-for-one your ass. We got to get the first sergeant on and ask him if that's true. Yeah. The Zamboni driver on the ice there. So that's from Wayne and from Beverly. Happy Christmas Eve morning, Mac. Church Bridge, currently under a mix of sun and clouds, 21 degrees. Northwest winds at 7. That's pretty good, man. Church Bridge, that's a hot winter day. This afternoon, with wind switching to the north at 5, the high drops down to 18. This day brings back fond memories of setting out two special diamond-shaped cigar cookies and a glass of milk, then trying to stay awake to see that elusive Santa that NORAD reported tracking. What is one of your childhood Christmas Eve memories? Mine, we had a tradition, and Bev's got a picture of a pickup truck out front of her house and some kind of lawn ornament. Yeah. When I was little, my mom and dad, we would have a family party at our house. Yeah, my mother was a great entertainer. And we would have a family party at our house. And I told you, you know, my mom went to her grave, you know, like my best friend is my cousin Tom, right? And my mom wanted a piece of him so bad. He'd run around like a little kook at my mom's parties. And Kathleen, yeah, she wanted a piece of him. So anyway, we'd have these parties on Christmas Eve. And so we'd entertain and blah, 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 blah. And, it was my dad's side of the family all came over. And so we did that. And then after everybody would leave, you know, there would be some presents under the tree because Santa hadn't come. But other people had sent presents and my mom had put some under the tree. So we got to open one present before we went to bed. And my enduring memory is opening up girls' underwear, right? I had three sisters at the time. And so you can open, somehow or other, things got switched up, man. And here I was all excited. I was one of those kids, I just ripped it open. I did not, like, undo the tape and shit like that. And I'm looking at flowery print white underwear. Yeah, I'm like, what do I do with this? And then Kathleen, she wasn't going to let me open up another one. So I don't even recall how that was resolved. I think she probably let me open up another one. So, yeah. And then another time, my mom, who loved her Christmas trees, yeah, she put a Christmas tree together that had white phlox. And on it, and birds. And so I'm supposed to call Bev on her landline, but she doesn't give me her phone number. That's awesome. So anyway, so Bev, if you're out there listening, shoot me your phone number, Bev. I mean, Nancy. So another one of my fond memories of Christmas Eve is our cat. So my mom, it's white phlox. It's got red and I think pink bulbs on the tree. That's it, all red and pink. And she's got these pink birds. I don't even know what they were. Partridges? Who knows? So, our cat decides the birds are real. And during the middle of the night, he gets up on the windowsill, and our cat, Sam, and he attacks one of the birds in the tree. Yeah. He attacks one of the birds in the tree. And the whole tree crashes in the middle of the night. We get up. Actually, I don't believe that was Christmas Eve, because if it would have been Christmas Eve, Kathleen would have had a conniption fit. Us rolling out, I think this is Nancy.
I'm back.
Hey, what are you doing?
Talking to you.
Why is there a phone ringing in the background?
Hang on.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm not, like, what's going on there? Like, did we enter a different dimension? The Twilight Zone? We'll try again.
Hey, Matt.
Okay, what kind of setup do you have going on out there, man? You have two...
I just had to eat something.
Oh, all right. First of all, Merry Christmas, Nancy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Merry Christmas Eve day. And, it's going to be super. It's just going to be super. Just so you have shithole weather today. From here, it's 37 on the way to 42. Not very Christmassy. And sunny. Full of skies and sun. And winds east, southeast at 4. Life is not very Christmassy, but we're just going to have to bring it. That's all there is. And Erie is copycatting us again today. This is getting boring. I like it better when they're different.
Now, why is there this competition between Erie and your hometown?
Well, they like to think of themselves as being city, but they really aren't. I mean, it's just, you know, 10 degrees warmer when it's warm, but during the winter, not so much. I like it better here because they usually get more snow than we do.
Oh, Erie does.
But neither of us are getting any, so right this minute, so we're just going to have to bring Christmas.
But you guys do the whole lake effect thing, right?
Yeah, Erie does.
And then when they're
done with it, we sometimes get it, but not often.
Not often. So the lake effect doesn't extend very far inland.
No.
Okay. Well, I thought that if you lived in proximity to the lake, that you would. I guess that's true, but I guess you have to define proximity, right?
About an hour away from them.
And
so
that gets you out of the frag pattern?
Yeah. It does most of the time.
All right. Well, that's good. So what are you getting for Christmas?
My family coming to visit, which is the best present I could ever have. One of my nephews is coming in from Kentucky, where he's a doctoral student.
Whoa. What is he studying?
Math.
Oh, he's that kid, huh?
Yeah, he's that kid, and I love him to bits. Everybody will be in and out all day tomorrow. It'll be kind of open house. My brother, sister-in-law, niece, and great-nephew will be over catering dinner. So... That'll be absolutely great.
How exciting! Now, how many kids were in your family?
There were six of us, and one of us stillborn, and another of us lost in a car accident when he was 16.
Yeah.
So there are five of us.
Five of us. The and where does everybody live?
Most of us are here. I have one sister who is still in Northwest Ohio. And I'll see her probably this summer. We'll have Christmas in July. I talked to her the other day, and she said, "Don't say anything. We're coming." So.
Well, that's exciting. Now, so you grew up? You've never moved? You grew up in the same town?
No. was because of my knees. And so Dad did a lot of job changing to get insurance coverage and that sort of stuff. And, but it's kind of been between Northwest Pennsylvania, Northeast, and Northwest Ohio. So that's the range here. But,
So what'd your dad do for a living?
He started out teaching high school math. Found out very quickly that he couldn't raise a family of our size on a teacher's salary in those days. Became a materials engineer and sales rep for a couple of different cement companies because of his military service and the materials engineering experience that he got at the time.
Got it. Okay. So you guys kind of moved around as he tried to provide for his family. That's a fairly typical story. And the other thing is that, you know, that's back in the day when most companies were not too user friendly relative to people with special needs, right?
Right. But we were blessed in that. The companies that he sought out were like, of course we'll help with that, which was a real blessing to us.
Well, that's interesting. Interesting. So now, how about you, Nancy? How were you able to attend high school? Did you have to be homeschooled?
Yeah.
How did all that work for you?
High school and college are probably my favorite times of life because that was at a point where the Education for Children with Disabilities Act was just coming into play. And so when my parents went to the high school guidance counselor and said, guess what? We have a mobility impaired daughter. She wants to attend class with her siblings and other people, so what are you going to do about it? And they said, oh my, what are we going to do about it? But they worked it out. This was a small town in kind of not quite northeastern, but almost. We weren't quite northwestern yet. It's called Portland, Ohio. It was near Warren and Youngstown. And they jumped in and did it. The football team were my lift team from floor to floor for 4 years. I love them all to death. One of them is now a retired Marine himself, Captain Type, who at our last high school reunion, I greeted with a tribal greeting, and he replied the same. And looked at me like, huh, what? How did this come? So we got to talk about my being pinned. And I got told, don't you dare wear pink. Don't you dare wear that affinity color. You don't need the affinity color. You better be wearing scarlet and gold, my dear, or I'm going to know about it. I said, so yes, sir. Because, of course, Uncle Colonel and Cousin Colonel didn't give me ranks when they pinned me. So everybody in the Corps outranks me. So, yes, no, I'm not going to wear a pink because somewhere, somehow, Scott's going to know about it. Anyhow, I have had just a marvelous time this past year being with AMR and learning from you guys and, post-traumatic winning is just a blessing. It is going to take off. I know it. And I found that after I spoke with you originally in February, I used struggle well and what then were the Ten Commandments as my Lenten practice that this year. And it just opens all kinds of things up. I know things didn't work out the way they hoped, you know, it would for you to come yet, because I had changes in life for a couple of the folks who I was thinking about having be my contacts and sponsors. So it's not God's time yet, but it will be. I am just amazed at how versatile the program is. And I love it to bits. And one of these days, I want to be in a room full of chaplains telling them, look, folks, guess what? This is it. And this has to be it. Take it from me. Let me at him.
You know, what's interesting is why do you think, Nancy, you know, given your life, first of all, tell everybody, for people that don't know you and didn't hear the first interview with you, tell everybody about what your challenge is in life, and so they understand a little bit more about you that may not know.
Sure. Firstborn in my family, born prematurely because of the prematurity, and we think a fall as an infant, cerebral palsy is part of my life. That's damage to the movement centers of your brain and your nervous system. They don't talk to one another very well. They fight a lot. So what you intend to do, you often cannot, because your system is in lockdown, because it's getting two different sets of messages, and it doesn't know which to pay attention to. So I am power chair mobile, and I have folks in to help me with everyday physical tasks, getting up in the morning. You know, all the rest of that happens because people who care are here, and it works out real well.
All right. Now that we've done that, why do you think that post-traumatic winning resonates so deeply with you?
Because
I dare say you've heard a lot of different approaches to life and things like that.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, and you're not technically from our tribe, okay? Now, we've adopted you on a very probationary status, so that should the need arise, we could throw your ass right out. But so far, you haven't given us that need. So why, I know you have a great affinity for your Marine friends and whatnot, but why do you think this has resonated so deeply with you, given your life experience?
Well, I think that it, first of all, says challenges are part of life. Challenges are life. There's nothing wrong with you because you've had to undergo one. And it used to be that whenever there was a major life change, I would think, oh, gosh, why are these so-called adjustment issues, if you will, coming up again? You know, there were a lot of surgical procedures when I was a kid that didn't quite do what they were supposed to do. I ended up more limited after they were done. Mm. And that teenage experience, you know, every time that something major changed in my life, my nervous system and spirit kind of reverted back to, oh gosh, here's this again. And all of the bounce back kind of resiliency attitude says, well, if you're going to bounce out of it into normal or new normal, that means you're going to bounce back into it when you have a change. You're not going to stay where you were. You're going to play ping pong. And post-traumatic winning says, life is ping pong. So just go ahead and live it and have people you trust around you to steady you during the rough patches and to hold you accountable and keep you on what you know you need to be doing in order to live life fully, to enjoy it, to really embrace it, and live with courage, honor, and commitment. Period. And the reason for the tribal affinity is precisely that. When both of my parents passed away, within about 6 months of each other, my uncle Colonel, who had wanted me to be honorary when I graduated high school 40 years before, and the paperwork got buried, and it went with him in his desk from assignment to assignment to assignment over 30 years. And he finally said, Nancy, you don't have your parents anymore. Your family is scattered. You need a new family. You need a new place to call home. You want to call the Corps home. And I said, yep. And he said, I'm on it. And so, because we were in between commandants at the time, it kind of got done unofficially. He said, I called everybody I ever served with, called people at all my commands, called people in the Pentagon, and said, can I do this for my niece? And they all said, go for it. Hoorah, tell her Semper Fi, would love her. And so it was. And so, of course, you one of these days when you get here are going to have the chance to take me off of probationary by pouring things over my head.
Right. Let's not get carried away. That's only on the condition that you don't screw it up between now and then and get fired.
You guys at AMR and my other unit mates are going to keep me honest. I know it. And it's just been a blessing and a joy being here and learning and connecting. And I just thank you for it. And whether you want to own it or not, you're doing God's work.
I've heard that before. I tell people don't say that very loud because you'll run everybody out of here. But no, I mean, in this time of Christmas, I think that if you are religious, when you sit and you listen to post-traumatic winning, I've had people walk up and say, you know, you're talking about walking in Christ's shoes, don't you? And I always say, shh, don't say that. Don't say that too loud. It'll just be you and me and those very quiet little, assistants, those very quiet assistants to the chaplain that'll be hanging out in here. And they look at me and they're like, you know, that's what you're doing. And I said, well, look, I grew up Catholic. So, you know, I understand, you know, I understand the parallels between it. But the other thing I honestly say is, but all these truths come on a parallel course. You know, and they all come from the interviews that I've done. If I put names next to the three goals and the Ten Commandments, there would be names of interviews that I did that taught me every one of those things. And so it's a parallel track that I think is irrefutable in its truth. And that's what I love about it is that, look, man, as I always say, I'm going to tell you the truth. And if you don't like it, I don't really give a shit. But it's
yes.
The truth that you're going to need to come to and reconcile yourself at some point in your life. And it's all come from other Marines and other Marine family members that have lived through this stuff. People like you, Nancy, that have, that when, you know, even a moron, when he hears it over and over again, at some point, I think says, yeah, that must be true because I hear it all the time. And I'm not moron.
And I really think that the civilian community, particularly spiritually related civilian community, hospital chaplains, chaplains who are first responders, and specialized chaplaincy needs to have tools. And I think PTW is the best user-friendly tool that I've seen in a long, long time.
Well, you know what I think is what I, one of the things I love about it as a tool as you, that you're talking about is I think one of the things that really is hurtful to people, and I know because I've lived it, is when, you know, you're struggling and people walk up to you and they say bullshit to you. And it just,
yes.
I mean, you know, there's a purpose in this, really. You know, time heals all wounds. Those things that, you know, we talk about in post-traumatic winning. You know, I mean, what does it feel like when somebody, you know, walks up to you relative to your MS and says, there's a purpose in this?
Well, if there is, I'm not going to see it until I am above it and away from it. So don't bother handing me that, first of all.
Right?
Yeah, you know, it may be revealed to me in glimpses when somebody else who is struggling says to me, I saw what you did the other day. I heard what you said. And because you said it on my level, looking at me eye to eye, sitting in that chair, I could believe you. I had a situation as a hospital chaplain where we had a patient come in who was going to end up with quadriplegic paralysis because of a fall off his roof. And the nurse on call didn't want me coming down to the emergency room. She paged my ambulatory boss, because she was afraid that his family would see me and be frightened by what they saw. And my boss did not back me up at the time. He said, well, if she said you don't come, you don't come. So off he went. And then that person ended up on my unit, the physical rehab unit of my hospital. And his family said to me, Nancy, if we had seen you 3 days ago, we would have said, oh, thank God. She's in a chair and she's living life. She is here to serve us. So our family member is going to have a life and make a life, and it's going to be great. And so for the week or two that he was with us adapting, we got on like a house of fire. And I love it when those moments happen. But I had to be open to them, too.
Well, that's rough, though, man. You know, when those kind of things happen where you're not invited to the prom, yeah, right? Because, you know, you're non-ambulatory and we don't want to scare anybody. And you know, what's interesting is that there's a parallel in Marines talk about coming home from Iraq or Afghanistan. One of the most powerful things that happened to them was they got treated normally by people that had already been down this road. And they talk about guys coming into their hospital rooms in wheelchairs that were amputees, looking at them and saying, hey, man, you got to come down to physical therapy with us. And their response was, I don't know that I'm supposed to get out of this bed. And they're like, oh, no, we'll get your bed down there, just so you know. Whether you can't participate yet, but you can go down there with us, and you're part of us, so you go with us. And they were like, all right. And then what they quickly learned was, my life's going to change a little bit, but it's not going to change that much. There's still the same rules apply to me, which was, and they talk about how important that was to their brain.
Exactly. And I like the fact, too, that you reintroduced me to Viktor Frankl. you made Freckle and me friends again. In college, I was a psych major. And the way psych happened for me was that there was so little of the spirit in it that by the time I was done with it, I said, oh, because it was all Freud and Skinner and everybody other than Frankl.
Why is that? Why isn't Frankl embraced? I think he's the most powerful person I've ever read. I mean, I think he's, especially if you're prone to service, I think that that Frankl, why don't mental health professionals embrace him?
I think they're afraid of him because he merges the psyche and the spirit, and they're taught not to be comfortable with that.
Well, no, you're probably right. You're probably right. But, I mean, I look at it, and I'm like, wow.
The other person I think is really cool is Gerald May. He wrote something back in the late 70s, early 80s called Simply Sane. And that, to me, is almost a watchword for post-traumatic living. We're just simply sane. We're doing it one day at a time. The best way we know how, with help from people around us we trust. And we're just doing it. And just the points of contact, even outside marine culture, the points of contact are just endless.
Yeah. Well, you know from listening, I mean, marine culture, I mean, that's where this starts, but certainly it's not where it ends. And the power of it is outside of our culture and sharing it. And that's been the coolest part of all of this. All right. I've got to get Matt Kiker on. What are you doing for Christmas other than anything? What's going to be the highlight of the weekend with your family coming in town? Just being around them?
With them, especially the ones who are out of town that I only see on the holidays, I am just going to feel so blessed. And I promise when my family photographer arrives, there will be photos of the tree for you guys. And I am told that Santa may bring me a selfie stick so that I can put a camera in it and out my window.
Nice. It's about time we got that.
We shall see. But I this is gonna be fun. But I have to use it. I have to use the L word. I love you guys to death. And God bless y'all. Share a hug around your table from me. And pass it around to all of AMR. I love you guys, and I don't know where I would be without you, but it would certainly be a lonelier place.
There you have it. That is Nancy of Shithole Weather fame for some of you, but for others, she's famous for other reasons. Nancy, Merry Christmas. Thanks for doing this.
You're welcome, Mac. It's a pleasure. Merry Christmas. Take care.
There you have it. From Pleasantville, Pennsylvania. That's right. We'll take a quick break. Matt Kiker from Mobile, Alabama. He's going to join us next on a Monday. On a Tuesday edition, but more importantly, Christmas Eve edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.